The Positively Wolfy Podcast, unqualified commentary on allegedly real news. The Positively Wolfy Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Positively Wolfy Podcast. They call me Mr. Positivity Wolfy T. You can follow me on Twitter at PositivelyWolf1. And if you want to email the show, you can reach us at PositivelyWolfy@Comcast.net. On today's show, we're going to discuss sometimes dead is better, a bonus amenity, and mouth to mouth. Today, welcome back to the show, Michael McGivern. Welcome back, Mike.
Oh, thank you for having me back, Wolfie. It's been too long.
It really has been. I think people are getting rid of getting tired of Brother Clint. It's been on for like 8 weeks straight. So we'll switch it up a little bit this week, but we're on a bit of a time crunch, so we're going to try to keep this a little bit shorter than normal. So I think we're going to jump into our unqualified commentary on allegedly real news right away here. Our first article from the New York Post, and the headline is, Frozen Zombie Worms Brought Back to Life After 24,000 Years. They look microscopic based on the picture here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Another classic first line from the New York Post. This might make you squirm.
Ba-dum-chim.
Russian scientists have resurrected, quote, zombie worms that had been frozen for 24,000 years in the Arctic. The microscopic multicellular animals called Bdelloid rotifers. Never seen a word start with BD. Bdelloid rotifers have inhabited freshwater environments for some 50 million years. Other studies on rotifers have shown that the animals can survive or can be revived after 10 years on ice. But a new study published in the journal Current Biology on Monday confirms that these clever creatures on the potential, I can't read, confirms that these clever creatures have the potential to live on for millions of more years. Wow. Oh, here's a good description. The specimens, sometimes called wheel animals for their round gaping mouths, which I think we're going to talk about in our third article today, were dug up from Siberian permafrost that appeared during the latter part of the Pleistocene epoch, which ended about 11,700 years ago. Researchers have also noted that the recently thawed animals, which reproduce asexually, had no trouble cloning themselves once they were brought back to life. Wow, is right. What are the Russians thinking here? Like, are they going to weaponize these things?
I would have felt a lot better about this story had it been on like almost anywhere else on the planet. Like, I was really hoping they would have found these in Sweden. And then I'd be like, oh, okay, good. This isn't going to be used against us someday.
Maybe they can team up with North Korea's weaponized dolphins.
Yeah. I did see though that, you know, like Siberia was over 100 degrees last week. So I'm not sure how much permafrost is going to be left eventually, which makes me wonder how much time they're going to have to dig stuff up like this and research it more, because of shouldn't be that hot in the coldest part of the world.
Yeah,
at least in my opinion. But I'm blown away by after 24,000 years that they had no problem kind of reproducing as asexual beings. That's nuts.
I mean, it is, yeah.
It doesn't, well, shocking, a New York Post article. It doesn't really say, though, like, what can be done with this. What are we trying to learn about this, right?
Well, I wonder, too, like, are these things, like, still around naturally, like, just, like, normal? Or are they ones that, like, the only ones that are left are the ones that are frozen in the Siberian or Arctic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, if it's been around for 15 million years, like, I would have to wonder that it's still around now if you went, like, deep enough into the permafrost, or, but I don't know. I don't know.
I just wonder if they're not active today, what reactivating them would do to the ecosystem. Like, what is their purpose? I don't know if the article says it. I suppose we could read more into it. A report by Live Sciences noted that these zombie rotifers aren't the first once frozen creatures that scientists have thawed and brought back to life. For instance, nematodes, another worm-like species, have been regenerated after as many as 42,000 years locked in permafrost. Ancient plants have also been recovered and cultivated in labs.
Well, only about 41,980 years until we see the return of Ted Williams. So, it's good to know.
Him and Walt Disney sitting.
Oh yeah.
Together in the.
Interesting.
What do they call that? The
cryogenic freezing.
Cryogenics, yes.
I don't get that at all.
Well, they remove the head, don't they? Like, I don't understand that. Like,
yes.
Wouldn't that kind of defeat the purpose?
Yeah, you would think, but I guess he thinks that we're going to get to a point in science where we could just do a head transplant. So you got the head. How do you, get the brain going again?
Is it like a Chappie situation where you just transfer its consciousness into a computer?
Maybe.
Like a stack of PlayStation 4s?
But the other thing is it's 80-year-old Ted Williams brain. It's not the
that's true.
20-something-year-old at his peak, the war hero, greatest hitter that ever lived brain.
And
right?
He had diminished quite a bit, had he not?
Yes. Yes.
Didn't he kind of turn racist at the end, or am I making that up?
I think that just might have been brought to the surface. Like whatever. But no, he was very diminished physically and mentally in his final years.
So it seems weird that they'd be like, yes, we want to make sure that we have the opportunity to bring that version
of him
back.
But that's his choice though, right?
I guess that's true. But then again, like, he's dead. What's he gonna do? Sue you?
But didn't his family? There was some lawsuit over his. Well,
was that the one where he had written on a cocktail napkin what his last wishes were, and like
maybe
one family member had it, and they said that was legally binding over like his actual written will that was done under
right.
the supervision of an attorney.
He is December 20th, 2002. Ted Williams, frozen in two pieces. Decapitated by surgeons at the cryogenics company, where his body is suspended in liquid nitrogen and several samples of his DNA are missing.
What?
Oh, boy. So he died July 5th, 2002, which is crazy since we're recording this on July 5th. Okay, what are the odds that he actually died on the exact like same day that we're recording this? I guess 1 in 365.
Yeah, because it's not a leap year.
I mean, that's pretty crazy, don't you think?
It's a coincidence. Yeah, sure.
Okay. So his head and his body are preserved separately. The head is stored in a steel can filled with liquid nitrogen. It has been shaved, drilled with holes, and accidentally cracked 10 times. The body stands upright in a 9-foot-tall steel tank, like the one Austin Powers was in, apparently. Also filled with liquid nitrogen. The procedure was approved by his son and his daughter, and for some reason, Red Sox owner John Henry also approved it. And it cost $136,000 to do. And that's in 2002 money.
What happens if that business goes under?
Exactly. Well, it might be under, right?
I can't imagine that got very popular at that price tag.
Right. William's eldest daughter had fought against the process, saying that her dad had asked and requested in his will to be cremated and his ashes scattered off the Florida coast. So that's a few months after his death. I'm going to Wikipedia. There was a suit. Yeah, so there was an informal, so John Henry, the Red Sox owner, and the other like family members in court claimed that there was a family pact that which they agreed to be put his body into biostasis after they all die, and to be able to all be together even in the future, even if there's only a chance. So the entire fam, like his kids, have made a pact. So when they die, they're going to be cryogenically frozen too, except for this one daughter who, you know, claimed in court that went against his wishes.
Yeah.
So nothing really it was basically dropped because the one daughter just ran out of money to pay legal bills. So they kept her in, you know, they kept her in court over and over again until she just ran out of money, basically. Okay, now wait a minute. Okay, so let me back up a second. I kept saying John Henry, the Red Sox owner, who is the Red Sox owner, but Ted Williams has a son named John Henry.
Oh.
So again, what the hell are the odds of that, that the Red Sox legend had a son that has the same like name as Jesus Christ? Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty crazy. So the company, Alcor, A-L-C-O-R, is a 501(c). So it's, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. Mm. It has, as of August 31st, 2019, Alcor has 1,731 members, including 172 that have died and have been subject to cryonic processes. 96 of those bodies have only had their heads preserved. So not a lot of people, but, you know.
I wonder what kind of discount you get for just doing the head. Is that only like 30,000?
Yeah. Animal bodies too. So you could get Fido.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people that have way too much money that are like, yeah, freeze all my dead cats.
Mm-hmm. Boy. Boy.
How about that, though? They drilled multiple holes in his head and accidentally cracked the skull 10 times.
Well, yeah, what are they?
Or are they just trying to get nitrogen into the brain or something? Like, I don't know. Does that keep it from rotting? I don't know. That's weird. But I don't know, you mentioned the missing DNA samples too. I wonder, you know, just bring them to Elon Musk's company. I'm sure he can bring them back. He's going to bring back dinosaurs and, you know, create your own species and all that shit too.
No, I think that's the talk of like, wow, what if you could reincarnate Ted Williams to play in the modern baseball game or Babe Ruth? So that might have been a part of it, is they, you know, took a DNA sample. I don't know how you can recreate. You can't.
I feel like those guys wouldn't do as well.
Well, no, I mean,
just because of the competition level being like so much higher.
Oh yeah, I mean, Babe Ruth never saw a black guy or a slider, so
he couldn't even like run the. What do you? He would run the first base, and then they'd have like some special pinch runner for him the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And they have some special rule where he didn't have to run the bases.
But I mean, and it just goes to show you like how far baseball's fallen. But Shohei Ohtani might hit 60 home runs this year, and he's also a pitcher, a good starting pitcher.
It's insane that.
And he's doing it against like elite competition.
Right.
He's not doing this in AAA or Japan. You know, he's doing this against the best of the best. Right. And it's not even really a story. Like, I saw somebody point out, like, you know, an Olympic runner smoked a joint, and that's a bigger story than this two-way player in baseball who's got 31 home runs on July 5th. Are you kidding me?
Right.
That's ridiculous.
It's always been kind of weird to me that pitchers are such bad hitters, but then it kind of makes sense because they never practice hitting after a certain point. And then, obviously Ohtani has continued to practice hitting. So
not only do they not really practice hitting, but all through the minors they have DH.
Yeah.
Right. So, which is really stupid, because if you play on an NL team and you're a pitcher, you literally go years without taking an at bat, and then you just get called up to the major league club, and now after 4 years you got, you know, like you haven't like taken an at bat since high school or college, and now all of a sudden you're in the box against, you know, Clayton Kershaw, really? And then that's the hill like 40% of baseball fans want to die on, is hitters pitching. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's so lame.
It's strategy, because then you make double switch, and
that's what
bringing another hitter to hit the nine.
Pass me the lotion.
that's for the old school fans who don't get analytics. Like, the double switch is as far as I get as far as strategy.
Yeah, well, and you know I'm a baseball nerd, so this is like, this topic is nails on a chalkboard for me. But can you just imagine, like, if the NBA said, all right, the Western Conference can have a three-point line, but the Eastern Conference cannot have a three-point line. You can only have two-point shots and one point per free throw.
I mean, it made more sense when they didn't play each other, like, you know, half the season. You know,
well, they were
completely separate, and
they were separate leagues, so it was two baseball. So it'd be like, you know, it used to be like the ABA and the NBA,
right?
Or the AFL and the NFL, and they just happened to, you know, play a Super Bowl like series at the end. Mm-hmm. But you know, once they went to interleague play, and now you have an interleague game every day, and you know, it's not really a bump in the attendance anymore, and you know, there is that argument of getting rid of they've half-assed it, right? So they'll play one series against, you know, a team in the other division or the other league in each division, right? But one like series, right? So like last week, Cincinnati was playing at Minnesota, but we don't go to Cincinnati this year, right? So they kind of half-assed it. It's either like, no, you need to have, you know, the Cubs need to come here once a year. The Dodgers need to come here once a year.
Right.
You know, so that you can go see the Stars, or don't do it at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because right now, you know, the Dodgers, the Cubs are only going to come to Minneapolis once every 6 years, basically. Or the Dodgers are only going to come once. So like, you're kind of, it's the worst of both worlds.
Right.
Where you're not really creating new rivalries. You're not really getting to see great players in their prime. Like, Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher of the last 20 years. Hmm. And he never pitched in Minneapolis in his prime. Right. Yeah. So you're not seeing the best talent every year. You know what I mean? Like any other sport, you know, LeBron James is going to come to town once a year.
Yeah.
You know, or Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin, Connor McDavid, you know, are going to come down to town once a year. You know, the NFL is different, because it's a 17 game schedule. So that's different. You know what I mean? If they played 162 games, or hell, if they played 30 games, you know what I mean? You probably have a better argument than, Tom Brady only comes to town once every 6 years. But, you know, I, the people who run baseball don't like baseball. So,
I mean, that's,
there's no getting over that.
That's an interesting take. Well, like, yeah, if you don't like what you're running, you might as well be in charge. Seems like a good idea. Anyway, let's wrap up the article here. The seemingly impossible is possible for some species on Earth thanks to cryptobiosis. Stas Malevin, a researcher at the Institute of Physiochemical and Biological Problems in Soil Science in the Russian town of Pushchino, told Live Science that these animals can suspend their metabolism and accumulate certain compounds like chaperone proteins that help them to recover from cryptobiosis when the conditions improve. The process of resuscitation is simple. We put a piece of permafrost into a petri dish filled with a suitable medium and wait until the organisms that are alive recover from their dormancy, start moving, and multiply, Mel Levin said. While the finding is critical to cryobiology. That is the study of how organisms live at extremely low temperatures. Malevin points out that we're a long way from being able to do it as humans. The more complex the organism, the trickier it is to preserve it frozen alive. He assured Live Science readers, for mammals, it's not currently possible.
Mm.
So this is like on South Park when Cartman was waiting for the Wii to come out and he decided to freeze himself. And he woke up like 1,000 years in the future.
Encino man.
Apparently that's not doable, according to this Russian scientist. So believe what you want.
That's really interesting. It's a cool story.
Yeah. So let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with our next one. All right, welcome back. Our next story, also from the New York Post. NYC tenant who found human bone in closet thought it was a prop. Because of course he would. Why wouldn't he?
No, it's fun.
The tenant who discovered a human leg bone inside the closet of a home in a ritzy Queens neighborhood thought the trick was on him. And that it was a Halloween prop, he told the Post on Friday. Hader Khan said he was moving from one room to another at the Jamaica Estates house he has been renting for less than 2 months when he made the startling discovery late Thursday. I was checking the closet to make sure I didn't leave anything behind, and I was checking the dividers between those shelves in the closet, and there's a gap in the wall where there's a divider, the 23-year-old man said. Khan said he thought the yellow brownish item could have been a variety of things, but didn't believe it was a real human bone.
Mm.
At first, I thought it was a Halloween prop, he said. My reaction was to throw it away. It looked like a rolling pin, but then I called the police. That's weird that he called the police if he thought it was just a prop.
Well, if you read on a little bit, he also called the police at like midnight. So this was couldn't wait. I don't know. Don't you rip the entire like wall apart? Because there's got it. Like you don't just find one bone.
Right.
Right. Like in an archaeological dig, it's not like there's just gonna be one bone in the area, right?
I don't know if I would personally do that.
Well, no, I'm.
But obviously, yeah, if the police believe it to be an actual human bone. Now, I don't know if I would have, looking at it, I mean, it looks like a bone, but I don't know. I don't know what a bone looks like necessarily outside of a human body.
I know. Or that could be a dog's bone. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I would think to call the police for that. I mean, it's all dried out and shit, so like it's not like it's fresh.
Right. Well, can you take that to the lab and identify human remains from a random bone? It's not like a tooth or blood.
I think they could get DNA off of it, couldn't they?
I guess.
Maybe if there's marrow in it, they could drill into it. Something. Mm-hmm. Khan said he also considered that the object was just a piece of wood or even a medical prop. Like how every sentence starts with Khan said. Khan said he asked his landlord, who also lives in the newly purchased Edgerton Boulevard home, about the strange find. The landlord said the house was owned by surgeons and it might be a prop, Khan recalled. I said it probably is fake. Oh, so if it was owned by surgeons, like, I guess, I mean, it's probably maybe part of their, I don't know, like, just like study stuff.
Yeah. You know? But then how does it end up?
In the closet? In
the closet, like behind a divider or something like that. Just, I don't know. I'm reading all of this in a New York accent, by the way. Hey, the house was owned by surgeons. It might be a prop. I've been watching The Sopranos a lot lately.
It probably is a fake.
I said, it's probably a fake.
I should watch that sometime. People tell me it's good, but I never got started on it. So
here's the thing. It's number one, I'm watching like the first season from 1999. So it's like kind of outdated now. And it's hard to like put it into context of like, there was never a show like this before. Right. So you kind of watch it now comparing it to, a lot of the prestige shows of the last 10, 15 years. It's okay. It's good. It's well written, but if you're trying to hey, this isn't nearly as good as Breaking Bad or Mad Men, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
And like the last season's a goddamn disaster. So it's like rewatching it. It's like, I know I'm not going to like get very far with this because you just get pissed off at the end. So
I did see the end of the last episode and my dad watched the last episode for some reason, but he like didn't watch the rest of the series. Mm. Like just for some reason he wanted to see how it ended.
Yeah.
So I've seen how it ends. Like, and obviously there was a big uproar about the ending when it happened. And
yeah, I was watching it live too. And I'll kind of never forget it. I freaked out as did millions of other people.
I mean, I believe it. It's just, that's a long black screen. Of nothing.
Screwed that up.
Well, they're making a prequel now with his son as the lead.
It should be good. At least I think. I mean, Americans are just such a hard on for mob movies that I think there might be a little bit. I'm excited, but I'm not like counting down the days or anything like that until it comes out, because it might not be any good. But they've wanted to do a Sopranos movie forever, and then James Gandolfini died, and a lot has happened since then. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it is. Interesting. I mean, people like those origin stories too. You know what I mean? You always want to.
There's a lot of those going around.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, I have HBO Max. Like, they're just starved for content, right? Like, it's just a never ending. Any half conceived idea is going to get green lit nowadays.
Well, even with HBO Max, like, it seems like half the stuff they get on there, it's on there for a month or two and then it's off. And then, like, it'll come back in like 4 months. It's like, why can't you have these long term? Like, just have them on there. Like, if you fucking own it, like, if it's a WB production, like, just keep it on there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm sure at some point I'll give it a shot, Sopranos. But God, I got so much other stuff on my to-watch list.
It never ends.
But I don't know. Let's get back to this bone.
Oh, yeah.
But when I took a second look, I said, there's no way this is a replica. It's too strong. It's too realistic. Because he knows how bones feel outside of the body.
I could imagine him like banging it against the wall. It's so real. Look at that.
It looks like they said it's a leg bone. It looks like it's one like the small bone off the top, the front of the shin.
Oh no, that's the other thing. It's like, that doesn't look like an adult. Like, I don't know. Again, it's hard to tell in the picture. It's like, is this like a child's bone?
I mean, it probably looks like it's about a foot long. Maybe a little longer.
I don't know. Again, I don't know how long my like fibia and tibia are. I don't know.
I mean, it could be from a woman. Well,
oh, man.
I don't want to guess genders, but it could be somebody who is shorter in stature. When police arrived after midnight, they thought it might be a twig concept. Good thing those cops are well trained. Maybe get some paramedics in there. Maybe they can get in there and give an opinion. The cops weren't really taking it that seriously, Khan said. I don't blame them. It's like the most simplest answer is usually the right answer. But then Khan got a call in the morning from homicide detectives to ask him more questions, he said. The police handed the bone off to the city medical examiner's office, which determined it was a human fibula, cop said. I wasn't scared. I just felt surprised, Khan said. It's a bone. What's it doing here? And that is the million-dollar question, because that's where the article ends. There's no details.
That's it. That's the story.
No speculation, nothing. Like, God forbid they give any kind of like guess as to how it got there. I just noticed this guy took the picture barefoot and his toe is in the bottom left corner of the fucking photo at the top. You see that?
Yeah.
He should have cropped that out.
You're right. Well, the other great part is, you know, like the picture, you know, the previous owners were surgeons, which could be why the bone was in the home. And there's like, it's just a picture of an intersection, like off of Google Street Maps. It's like, doesn't really give you an idea where the house is, like, or what it looks like. It's, oh, look at that. Someone's driving a Nissan truck.
There's just like a million, there's just telephone cords and shit. Yeah.
It's like, thank you for adding to the story.
Like, there's electrical wires that are lower than the street lights.
No, well, it's old. It's old infrastructure in New York City.
How about the carpet in that picture of his hand hideous. There? It's some kind of orange and red blend.
Yeah, shag carpeting. It looks years
pretty
old.
Looks pretty disgusting.
Like, that carpet has seen a lot of dead bodies.
It would, I mean, one would guess that's how it got that accent color in there. It was originally all orange, and now it's orange with the red accents.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Hideous.
Maybe it was like an underground surgeon, like in like Minority Report or one of the other many movies where some bad guy has to get some emergency surgery. They just do it out of their apartment.
I have a feeling we'll never hear the follow-up to this story. Just call me crazy.
I mean, you're not crazy, because we won't. Absolutely not. This is how journalism works these days. They bring up a something that happened, but they don't ask any questions, and then they just forget about it, and they go on to the next thing. Which is what we're going to do right now. We're going to go on to the next thing. Our third article of the day comes also from the New York Post. And the headline is, emergency crew rescues sex doll after mistaking it for drowning woman. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that Phil Collins was not involved in this effort. Because, you know, you watched a man watch a man drown.
I got it.
For some reason, I'm thinking of Billy Joel and him driving into houses.
To be fair, just from that picture, it's an actual, like, pretty realistic sex doll. It's not like a blow-up doll.
According to the caption, it is in Japan.
Exactly. They don't fuck around there.
Look how many people came to watch, though. Like, there's a picture of the doll in the water, but next to it, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 20 to 30 people just standing around
watching. A lot of cops. And just one guy in the water. Well, that's a fun dive.
And they're like all men, just waiting.
Oh yeah, yeah, all men.
Because you could tell the doll is not wearing clothes either, or at least it doesn't. Maybe it's got a top on.
I think it's got some lingerie on, which is a very, very odd thing to say. Yes, the drowned sex doll is wearing lingerie, Wolfie. Just so you're scoring at home.
Well, they issued an SOS. Save our sex doll. Clever. A team of emergency rescue divers was flummoxed after responding to the scene of a nude drowning woman, only to discover that it was actually a floating life-size sex doll. The uproarious gaffe was chronicled on Twitter by YouTuber Natsuki Tanaka, who had initially believed she was witnessing a real-life rescue in the city of Hachinohe off Japan's northeast coast, Kotaku reported. So, like, the New York Post couldn't go to her Twitter account and fucking read it for themselves.
Oh. Oh, brother.
That's always my favorite thing, is like somebody tweets something or tells something to somebody, and then somebody else reports on that, and then like somebody else reports on the report of the original source. It's like, just go to the original source. It's there. You could just look at it.
Yeah, I know.
While filming a fishing video, I thought a dead body floating in the water had washed up, but it was a blow-up doll, Tanaka wrote about the strange scene, which occurred last week. The influencer, yes, she has more than 272,000 subscribers on YouTube, added that someone else had mistakenly phoned the authorities over the drowning woman, prompting a Blues Brothers-esque army of emergency services to arrive, ready to rescue what they thought was a person in peril. I mean, I don't know. I guess the Japanese men are just desperate to get some female contact out there.
Well, they just have an absurd disparity in genders in that country, don't they?
I don't know about Japan.
There's a ton more men.
China does for sure, because they have the...
Well, that's genetic engineering, I think.
And they fucked up big time.
Yeah.
They went too far. And now there's now it's like a 10-to-1 ratio. And Japan, I'm not so sure about.
I think they do. I know they have like the oldest population on the planet.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Sure. That they like there's like a government like push like to hey, have more kids. Yeah. We're a dying country here. Which is it's kind of crazy. They were such a powerhouse in the late 80s. We thought that the Japanese were going to be our overlords.
Well, how many movies were there where there was a subplot about the Japanese company doing a hostile takeover of the American company?
Like, again, that's something you watch, you know, these days later, like, what? Like, really? You know, but yeah, no. And my my uncle in the 80s and into the early 90s worked in LA and did a ton of business with Japanese businessmen. And that's what I remember him saying that, oh yeah, they're taking over. They're it's like, well, maybe we should have been a little more worried about a little bit of west of Japan,
right?
To be our overlords, which is happening soon enough.
Well, we were so busy trying to avoid Japanese companies from taking over American companies that we just sent all our business to China.
It's cheap. I mean, it's just
to save some money so we could afford our own companies.
Well, no, it's like no pun intended, but it really is like a Chinese finger trap. It's like the more you try to pull away, the more dependent you are on China and America, vice versa.
I can't hear Chinese finger trap and not think of that new Eric Andre movie that's seared inside my head of him and Lil Rel being trapped in a Chinese finger trap.
Oh, well. Those guys are funny, though.
Not with their fingers.
Yeah. They're funny, though. They're funny.
It's a good movie. It was a lot funnier than I had anticipated. But let's go back to the Japanese harbor here.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, accompanying photos show multiple fire and rescue brigades, police, and an ambulance working to dredge the dummy from the water in front of a crowd of onlookers. Thankfully, the adult toy was rescued safely, according to Tanaka.
I would have given anything to see, like, if this was America, I don't know about Japanese culture, it was America, there would have been applause for getting the sex, like, hey, all right, well done, guys. You know, it's this doll just hangs from a fishing lure, basically. Oh my
God. Do you see this? There's a couple of tweets that they've put in the article here. Mm-hmm. The second tweet has a picture of it being pulled up, and like the head is either like just hanging loose or it fell off or something.
Well, no, it's been sent to Alcor. It's been cryogenically frozen. A very leggy doll, yeah, as well.
Very short arms, very long legs.
Man, he had a fetish. He had a type, whoever this guy was.
You know, a couple weeks ago, we had a story about a sex doll that complained about how shitty humankind is. And I wonder if the owner finally got sick of her.
Just... Oh, no, I think that, might have been it.
Two of us leave, one of us comes back.
This sounds, though, is this how Whitney Cummings fakes her death? Does she throw her doll into a lake and then it's too late? She's already on the lam once they find the body.
Oh, man.
Do you think? I don't know.
I think that's a possibility. Or
you've seen that thing, right?
Yeah, I have seen that
very thing. Freaky.
It's weird that she just hangs out with it.
She's very funny. I'm a fan of hers. I think she's very attractive. And she'll be the first one to tell you she is nuts. So, you know, hanging out with a robot of yourself, for her, does not seem that odd to me. It seems pretty on brand.
That's true. Do you remember when, speaking of faking deaths, it was Lendale White at USC. Do you remember when he was up on the roof of a building during practice and he threw a dummy wearing his jersey?
I do now. I think about how much money he could have made now doing a publicity stunt like that.
Right.
Or like an energy drink or something.
Oh my God. I loved having Lendale White on my fantasy team when it was him and Chris Johnson in Tennessee, because Chris Johnson would get the big runs and he'd get tackled at the 2-yard line, and then Lendale would just come and get the touchdown. And like, there's so many weeks where he had like 5 carries, 10 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I'm like, yes.
No, he was a good fantasy back. And it's just crazy how good that those USC football teams were. He's the backup running back.
Like, right.
Are you kidding me? Good Lord.
Speaking of, I saw Reggie Bush wants his fucking Heisman back.
He should. I'd raise hell too if I were him.
I mean, if OJ gets to keep his, I mean, Reggie should probably get his back.
Well,
I think OJ sold his, though.
Well, I think Ron Goldman has it.
Oh, okay. So
that was a part of the civil suit
before he got out of California.
Then
he
could
keep all his assets. And
then maybe Ron Goldman auctioned it, but
I'm not sure. Got it. I can't remember.
He got it for sure.
That's
but
funny.
It's not. It had he, but OJ was never stripped of,
right?
You know, the Heisman. Yeah. So he's still up at the, you know, the athletic club in New York, and he's still in the Hall of Fame. I think bust is good Lord. Great Twitter feed, though.
I like how he's like such a legal expert now. Like anybody that gets into legal trouble, he's like always giving advice.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, know your rights, like get your trial, and like.
Well, like the crazy part, and I, you know, he really does know football, and so. During the football season, he'll make great observations on his Twitter page about players and teams and stuff. And it's just like, this guy's a murderer. Boy, I tell you, you got to see. I mean, Aaron Rodgers makes throws that you've never seen before. And it's such a tight window he throws into. And you're just like, this guy killed his ex-wife and a waiter.
I watched a movie a couple years ago on Showtime. I don't know if it even got a theatrical release, but it was called The Murder of Nicole Brown Simpson. Mm. And they implied that there was a guy who had like been doing work next door that she hired to do work on her house. and then like he was obsessed with her, and then like he and OJ kind of teamed up to kill them.
And, interesting.
They had some like clips at the end, like real life clips of like that kind of supported the theory, including OJ's If I Did It interview.
Yeah, well, he did the home video, right?
Where he he did the interview If I Did It, and then I think it was for Fox, and they didn't release it for like 12 years or something like that. Because he had wrote the book too. And then I think his attorneys are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, don't admit to this. Second of all, yeah. Ron Goldman's parents are, you know, the parents are going to get all the money from this. So don't do it. And then when they did release it, like he was walking through like the actual murder, and like he was talking about how there was somebody else there with him.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but it's an interesting theory, you know?
No, that was a, you can find it online. I'm sure that was a great Mad TV sketch. The O.J. Simpson, If I Did It, bloopers and outtakes.
I have to see that. Mad TV's on HBO Max, but there's a shit ton of episodes that aren't on there. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say, because some of these other platforms will be like standards and practices taking stuff out.
Right.
But HBO, what the hell do they care? But right. Maybe there's some copyright stuff, because they did a lot of, you know, movie and song spoofs.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But, you know, like Saturday Night Live's on Peacock, and it's like, once you take out, you know, copyrighted stuff, you know, music, it's like every episode only has like 5 sketches. And like everyone, I think we talked about this before actually, but everyone's like, this originally appeared at a later hour. Your discretion advised. Like, come on. Like, really? I don't know.
It's got a rating on it. Like, it says TV-14. Like, I get it. Like, but like the old WWE Network was like that too, where it would be like, this is shown in its original format. It may contain content that does not fit our current corporate beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Viewer discretion is advised or whatever. But,
that's tough though. Cause anything pro wrestling pre 2005, 2004, 2003 is like the whole industry is built on political incorrectness. Like every gimmick is a stereotype, a racial stereotype. Promos are incredibly inappropriate. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. Like, but I don't know how you.
The time. Like, and it doesn't necessarily have to always fit with your corporate beliefs, because you got to have villains too. Like, you have people there that you want to boo. Like, you want to get, you know, beat up and stuff like that. So, like you can't have everybody be like squeaky clean. Like, you gotta have somebody to dislike.
Yeah.
And like, just being a jerk doesn't make you dislikable all the time. Like, sometimes you gotta push it that much further. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes going forward. But we should really get through this article here.
Oh, right. The news.
It's unclear how the blow-up doll ended up in the water. Perhaps this once devoted doll lover finally got fed up with his silicone soulmate. I believe that is... this is a different one. That links to an article that says, my sex doll is so much better than my real wife.
Hey, whatever works, brother.
Which is also a Japanese guy. I was thinking it might also be that Kazakhstani bodyguard who apparently married not one but 2 sex dolls and is now looking for a real woman to date.
Hero.
He met her at the club. At least the first one. I think she cheated on him. It was a very strange follow-up to that. However, another Twitter user who also documented the bizarre rescue chalked up the incident to illegal dumping of oversized trash, which is unsurprising given Japan's stringent laws concerning garbage disposal. Thankfully, one Japanese company has devised a more tasteful, eco-friendly way to put one's inflatable paramours out to pasture. by throwing them a funeral complete with candles, undertakers, and even mourning mannequins.
Mourning mannequins.
I think I had saved that article, but never used it for the podcast here. We've had a surprising number of articles about sex dolls on this podcast.
I was going to say about the Kazakhstani guy. That sounds like an episode of Black Mirror or like a Lars and the Real Girl like sequel, where it's like, what happens if your robot sex doll cheats on you?
Right.
Like, what can of worms does that open? That'd be pretty messed up. Because you're already pretty low to...
Well, then Kazakhstan apparently legally married them. Like, apparently do they have to go through a divorce
if she gets half of it? You could marry a goat there if you wanted to.
I mean, I'm told those Borat movies are a work of fiction.
I don't know about that. Although, after seeing the explosion in the Caspian Sea the other day of an oil field, I'm not sure how much longer your Kazakhstans and Azerbaijans and Uzbekistans, I don't know how much longer they're going to be around, to be quite honest with you. I don't know if you saw that video, but it was like Hiroshima on the sea.
There's a lot of shit going on. The Gulf of Mexico was on fire.
Yeah.
And
perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
We just got to adapt and move on. Although we had an article earlier on this podcast that us small people can't do anything to affect climate change, but if the rich elite cut 97% of their carbon emissions, we'd be good.
Well, I mean, there is something to be said about the Al Gores and Leo DiCaprios of the world taking private jets everywhere. Right. I mean, there is an argument to that.
Or DiCaprio on his super yacht with all his model girlfriends and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, so we're all hypocrites. Where are we? Kidding. Yeah. I drive an SUV. Like, who am I kidding?
I got a V8 Hemi in my car.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Nice.
Actually, I just had it replaced because I had scoring in a cylinder.
Oh, really?
Which luckily was covered by my lifetime powertrain warranty. So thank God for that.
So you're like a Mopar guy, Dodge guy.
Well, I am now because I can't get the same equipment on a new car.
No, you can't.
And I'm like, I'm going to drive this one for fucking the rest of my life, I think.
I've been looking into hybrids and electric. Well, I think in the next year, I'm going to switch it over.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a dawning of a new day in the sense that if I drive one of those, I'm not automatically an environmentalist, like lefty nut job. It's finally makes a little more economic sense. You know what I mean? Like it's not just a political statement. That's my thought on the topic. I just hate going to gas stations. So
don't much. They have credits on your registration for driving electric now, like as an incentive?
Well, new. If you bought a used one, I don't.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I looked at some new cars and I'm like, God, I don't think I could drive a four cylinder.
Hard to go back.
It really is. I've had my previous car at a V8 too, so it Chevy Impala with a V8. So I've had one for like 10 years now. So it really is hard to go back. I had a rental car for 4 weeks while they're switching my engine out. And like I think that it was a Cherokee and I think it had a V6. Like even that, like that's different. Like it's a real different feel.
Yeah.
But we need to wrap this episode up. So
well, I was going to say it's different. It's got a real different feel. Once you go there, you're never going back. And are we talking about cars? Or are we talking about the sex dolls?
Oh, that's a good place to end.
That's what she said.
Oh, hi-o. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at PositivelyWolf1. And if you want to email us, you can reach us at PositivelyWolfie@comcast.net. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.